Thank you, Brian.
DJ Brian.
DJ Brian on the decks. Here we go. Hello, fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia. Me, Tara Flynn, the person who has maybe the most fear and insecurity of anyone in the world, so much I have my own special brand, which is Taranoia. But we're all Egypts and we're all doing our beckin' best. That's the premise of the show. Now, I have someone on today, a guest in the studio, and I'm so excited to have her here. I say that about all my guests because I really am excited to see them. This person I've been a fan of for a very long time. I've seen her doing her live performances. She's absolutely brilliant. And I've seen her as an advocate speaking at the Marches for Choice. She's incredible. I know you'll think she's incredible. Give it up at home for Kate McGrew, Lady Grew.
Thank you. Hi, Tara. I'm so glad to be here.
It's very exciting that you're here. You've already sprung one on me. We're going to use it as the outro, but you threw me a little curveball, which I love about you. You love a curveball.
I do. It's the yes and motto of life.
I actually love that model for life. I think Tina Fey does it in her book, Bossy Pants. She gives a whole, there's a couple of pages that are dedicated to how to use improv for your life. And Sharon Mannion, who's in the Dublin Comedy Improv, she always says, when in doubt, yes and the fuck out of it.
Exactly.
So you take an offer, like, Tara, will you do this crazy thing? And you say yes and you run with it.
And find out how good. You were so good at it, Tara.
Shut up. I was terrified. You are incredible. I'm intimidated because you do so much. You're an advocate. You're brilliant. And to me, you're also really, really brave. And that. So by night, you're very brave on stage. You're an MC. You're a performer. You sing. You dance like a mofo. You're an absolutely beautiful mover. And you also do sex work.
That's right. All of the above. It's funny that prostitution is the day job, actually.
It's the day job. Yeah. Well, this is why I think you're really brave, because I think it's something that we don't even talk about so much, let alone think about actually doing. And it's like, it's something that I've probably been really prudish and a big square and not addressed it properly in the past or help to stigmatize it myself. How can we destigmatize it a bit?
I mean, I like talking to people who have been on a journey with it, you know, and even I myself, you know, I'd say my feminism when I was an early teen was disparaging of sex workers, yeah, and not understanding the fact that it's a job and what the implications of that are, what the reality of that is. So my favorite is talking to people who have come from a place of not understanding it, because then you really get a clear picture of where are the sort of edges that need to be smoothed out and the gaps in understanding. So it can really help people move along, because everybody can relate to having only heard one side of the story.
Well, that's a wise and kind and charitable way to frame it. But I definitely would have been disparaging. Definitely. It's all the chat I heard. It never dawned on me, the thick that I am, to listen to people actually still working in it. Because that's the key, I think, to so much. You have to listen to people whom it directly affects.
Yeah, that's absolutely it, you know. And, you know, especially if you have uncomfortable feelings with any aspect of it, it's about putting those down and still asking the person, despite the feelings you might continue to have about what they're telling you, if that person is telling you, as uncomfortable as this might be for you to hear, when I'm telling you what will keep me safe, that's the important part of this conversation. In spite of everything else, it's the immediate safety of the person involved who's directly impacted.
That's the bit that for me now, that I can't see why people can't connect with that. That people's safety must be the be all and end all. And sex work's not ever going to go anywhere. So why are we not working harder to keep people safe. Why are we not listening to sex workers?
Yes.
Kate?
Yes, yes. And I mean, I think that's the thing. Realistically and truthfully, sex work is always going to be something that people with little or no resources can always do. Our bodies are literally the only thing that we actually own. And so, of course, we're going to be, it's our sort of bottom line resource, isn't it?
Bottom line. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about bottoms.
I'm so cheap.
I love it. We love a bottom. Everybody loves a good bottom.
Everybody loves a good bottom. I write lots of songs that I never ever record or write down or anything that involve bottoms.
Are they all booty house songs?
Well, Bun City is one that I really love.
Ooh, I might have Bun you City. Give us a bit of it, Will. But I
kind of goes, buns, Bun City. Everybody loves buns.
Oh.
That's kind of the core of it, really. It doesn't really go anywhere, but I kind of reckon that's the meat. I'm sorry to badumch out of a very serious conversation about keeping people safe, but yes, so that is the bottom line, is keeping people safe. And here in Ireland we now have the Swedish model, do we? So is that what we certainly do? Tell people what that is.
So what they have done is for the first time ever made it illegal to purchase sex, and it always was legal to sell sex as long as you were selling sex alone. So that remains the same. But what they did was they, along with making it illegal to purchase sex, they doubled penalties to the illegality of people working in pairs or groups. So anybody that wants to work with another person because it's cheaper, because it's safer, that has been illegal, that remains illegal, and now to nearly triple the amount of fines. So it's a quite dangerous and stupid law.
Because it sounds like it makes sense. I get when people initially started talking about it, I get that they were going, well, if you criminalize the person who's buying the sex, so you're not stigmatizing the woman involved or the sex worker involved, you're stigmatizing the purchaser. But then what makes happen is that they act irrationally or try to get the person to come into an unsafe situation so that they can hide themselves.
Yes, I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And there are a lot of different small ways that sort of counterintuitively it ends up being the worker who compromises his or her own safety. So, you know, even if the worker is by herself and working alone, at the very least, she'd be concerned now with protecting her income, and so she's bending over backwards to suit whatever sort of parameters the client now puts up. He's the one who's seen as taking more risk, so she has to start to take more risks to accommodate him so that she can get her bread and butter. It also means that if she has problems, she's less likely to talk to anybody about them because, again, she doesn't want police, for example, knowing where they can, you know, camp outside her door to harvest their criminals. And, you know, there are so many different small ways that that it is the worker who compromises her safety. The problem, you know, you were saying, why don't people listen to the worker? I mean, you know, Ruhama, there are actual Magdalene Laundry nuns on their board. That lineage is very real. This is
what, so a straight line.
A straight line.
Of judgment and stigma and misogyny.
And so, unfortunately, they have really tried to claim this model that's quite dangerous. They've tried to claim it as a feminist model because they say, you know, the prostitution and this kind of objectifying of women, they take it out of talking about it as a job, and they say it's the problem with feminism in general. We're never going to get anywhere. It's, you know, whereas we're saying if we don't protect the women who suffer the most, you know, sexual violence and stuff like that, then we're not going to get anywhere with feminism. What I'm saying is that these feminists, so-called feminists, have aligned with the religious right, and it makes for a very powerful kind of message. And it's like culturally, I think they're losing it. People are copped on. They're going, wait a minute. People are just trying to pay their bills. And we're trying to understand how this actually makes people of all kind of circumstances less safe. But the people in power are still in power. So they just get to ignore. They just get to say what they want and frame it how they want and just, you know, press the thumb down.
There's so much, I think, missing in the conversation about it, not least the voices of people still working in it. You will often get someone who has left sex work behind, who's now saying, oh, it's now I see all the pitfalls, and now I see why it must be outlawed and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, that's simply not practical. And also, I think you and the late, much missed Laura Lee are people who really opened my eyes to the fact that it really can be, it can keep people out of poverty. It can be the last boundary between absolute despair and keeping control of your own life.
I mean, what people will never be able to answer is how these anti-prostitution activists, they can't answer how it being illegal would have changed their situation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, when we're saying it's marginally safer with legality, it's like, come on, time to pull on the big girl panties and just help people in bad situations for them to be better, you know. So it's challenging. It's challenging.
It sounds like it's quite challenging. It sounds like a challenging job anyway. I'd be like, well, I'm too much of a square anyway to ever do it, I'd say. Mind you, I did have those times where I'd do sort of slightly more random hookups and things. I'd do it for free, Kate. You probably think I'm mad.
Sucker.
I'm such a sucker. We leave that one there. But it seems like something that we're just always breaking the ice with new people. It must take a particular strength of character to always be the person kind of making someone else feel comfortable, to be breaking that ice, I guess.
You know, I'm happy to do that. And I'm happy to have really awkward conversations. And I feel like particularly if they're so awkward that some people aren't willing to go there, or if some people have realistic aspects of their life that will fall to pieces if they do come out, I am willing to go there because I am out. And so I will take that on. Any of us that can be, better be, you know, because the more of us can explain what it's like, people just start to have their little worldviews shattered into a more realistic place.
I mean, and well, that's in terms of advocacy, which you're incredible. And you've spoken at Marches for Choice on the links. Of course, the link, the big link being autonomy in sex work and reproductive rights. And, I'm even more talking about one-on-one with a client. Mm. How do you even talk to all those people?
Oh, you know, and again,
hi. Hiya.
You know what? It's funny because, like, as a young woman, I was not as good of a sex worker as I am now, because I think like a lot of us in dealing in sexual situations, I thought that I had to be some certain kind of something. I realize you just be a prettier, nicer version of yourself. Oh, okay, that I can do. Yes, that I can do. And because of that, I have to say, like, I go into work and that shit puts me in a good mood, because and I'm sure not everybody be the same. Some people, that whole like fake it till you make it smile and you feel that way doesn't really work. But for me to have to pay attention to another person and make them feel comfortable and just make a nice vibe and create a vibe in the room, I love that. I love to host. I'm a hostess with the monsters.
Sounds like
after you, second to you, Tara.
No. I'm a terrible host. I don't even know what scent is in the burner over there. Apparently it's lemongrass, but I don't even know that. So, like, I'd be terrible at setting an atmosphere. I'd be like, hello, would you like a biscuit?
I have coffee.
Very nice.
Thanks, Brian.
That's it. Well, you see, Brian, lovely Brian from Head Stuff. Brian is a much better host than me. He made sure that I was about to start recording and he went, she doesn't even have coffee.
But so, would he be a better hooker?
I don't know. I don't. We'll have to ask him himself. It's all about autonomy. I could never speak for Brian on that front. But I mean, you were saying as a teen, you might have been a bit more judgmental, definitely like me, definitely into much later than teens for me. Like, you didn't have that sort of, did you have a kind of a restrictive upbringing on that in terms of sexual mores and things?
No, you know what? This is a moment I remember. I was in like a after school feminist class or something. I think I was 14. And I remember at the time I, you know, I'd started shaving my legs at age 12 or whatever, but I don't know what I was reading or seeing, but I had this feeling like I shouldn't have to shave my legs. This is dumb. This is the patriarchy. Even at age 12 and 13, I was thinking those things. So I remember in this class bringing that up to the teacher and raising my hand and being like, you know, I'd like to talk about shaving our legs and if that's okay and this kind of thing. And
I couldn't have done that in the convent, you see. None of that. Don't have legs.
Do nuns shave them. Their legs?
I'm sure. Well, they used to have a sort of a little salon. So I'm sure. So they definitely had their hair done under the veils. But But I don't know if there was waxing or anything like that. but we digress. So you brought it up in class.
And she said to me, she basically shut me down. And it was a big moment for me because she was just like, we don't really have time to talk about that kind of stuff. We have more important shit to talk about. And maybe she should have done a little more yes and kind of addressed it and said, okay, let's talk about that. I'm in our, you know, but the fact that she was like, there are much bigger problems and issues at hand really started me thinking in a different way and being able to focus on those kinds of things and be able to perceive things in terms of matters of, survival and women getting what they want and just the lack of females having power in general. And it's not to say that obviously consumerism and pop culture, capitalism, all of these are tied in together. But it was a really big moment for me for her to say, it was kind of the same as her being like, this is about work instead of this is about the sex part. You know, we're going to talk about the work part because that's a part we need to focus on right now. Because if we get distracted by the fact that this work is about sex, if we get distracted by whether or not we're shaving our legs, we're still going to not have equal pay, etc.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great point. Mm. I'm wondering because shame, as we say, the motto of this show, the secondary motto of this show is probably fuck shame. We say it a lot. Was there ever a moment, I'm not talking about being out in terms of being an advocate and speaking for people who can't speak, but in terms of, you know, and people have to be in for lots and lots and lots of different reasons. But was there ever a moment, even when you were starting out, where you felt, where someone could have used shame as a tool, where, just, over you?
Tara, I'm shameless.
Oh, good woman. Brilliant. I love it. But I mean, I suppose it's different. Did you start working in the US? Is it very different there? I mean, I'm coming with all my Catholic hang-ups, I suppose.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no, I started working when I was 21 in New York City, you know, and I started working in still out of need for money. I mean, it was always based on needing a way to make money, but it sounded like an interesting and fun way of making money. So I knew I couldn't tell people.
Right.
I knew that. You know, and so I didn't, but I was not ashamed.
That's great. Hmm. Yeah. And that's, I suppose that's something I'd love to, I must, I suppose in Sway, you probably meet people from all kinds of different backgrounds. Oh yes. Tell people about Sway because we'll.
Sway is awesome. It is an organization that is here for every sex worker in Ireland, no matter how they work, no matter how they feel about the work, men, women, trans people, if you're working inside, outside, if you're working with people, if you have a manager, if you work on the streets, if you have drug issues, if you're undocumented, we work with everybody to make their situation better and to get their voices and their perspectives out. And that's what we do. That's what we do. And people can always call us. You could contact me at kate@sway.eu.
That's S-W-A-I.
.eu.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa, hang on. Right, don't freak out, okay? I've hacked into this podcast and this is an ad, okay? This is Tony Cantwell. I'm here with Mark Jago. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, and we present Sexy Beasts, which is a monster review show. So it's all if you're into the weird, unexplained monsters. We've had things like Banshees, the Irish Waterhound, the Dobberkoo, Bigfoot, and all this December, we're having Merry Cryptmas, where we're looking at cryptids and weird monsters all over December. So if you want to know the real deal behind Santa, the real deal behind Krampus, you've got to tune in. Sexy Beasts, exclusively on Head Stuff.
And so, I mean, that's the sex work there, and that's great. Oh. And you're very open about it, and that's all fantastic. And we've heard a little about that. But what people don't know is that that is only the day job. Kate McGrew, you're a star, a star, a star. I went to see your show, Hookers Do It Standing Up, and it is just so inventive, so brilliant. The rhymes are so great. You are a proper star. You own that stage. Would you love to do more of the performing?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Woo! And Tara Flynn, you humble little bee, you did not mention that you were in the show.
That was a secret surprise.
You were in the show.
That was so much fun. But it was terrifying because you really owned that stage, and I really felt like I don't want to interject into this space of great stardom.
You did an amazing job. You made it so awesome. It was a little planned interruption. And your role was essentially Shitty Spice.
Shitty Spice. That was what we named my character. Shitty Spice is going to stand up and stop all the fun, which honestly, that's probably me in my teens. Hello. No, stop this. What is all this promiscuity and shamelessness? So we had to ditch all that.
We did. And then we drank on stage.
We did drink on stage. You're a very bold person, which is why I love you. I love you. But so you, I don't know, can we talk about the photograph you showed
Please.
Me of the person in your class from the past?
The photograph? I don't even remember.
Person. So it's not only is Kate an amazing performer, but she has a pedigree as long as her arm.
Yes. So I'd say you're referring to the picture of when I was Judas.
Yes.
To Jesus.
Yes. And you pointed and you said you were all in costume and you said, "Do you recognize anyone in that photograph?" And I think I managed to pick you out. And then you went.
And then I went. And that is Mr. himself, Mr. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So,
A star is born.
A star is born. When are you two going to collaborate again?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. And I certainly look forward to that in the future.
So was that a theatre school? Where was that?
I went to school at Wesleyan University in Connecticut. And that was, of course, Jesus Christ Superstar. So he was Jesus. And I was the one who set the ball rolling for Jesus to save all of us for our sins. So you're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Judas.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Got some rocking songs too.
Oh, the best. The best tunes.
But so was that a theatre course? So did you train in theatre and dramatics
I did. I got a BA in theatre. So I went to college and I started for the first time dancing, like taking dancing classes, and was like, damn, I love to dance. Started drumming for the first time, and my drum teacher was like, hold on, girl, you as a drummer. And so I hopped around. Will I be a dance major? Will I be a music major? And then I was like, hold on a second. It's much easier to be a theater major and incorporate drumming and dance than it is to be a drummer and incorporate dance.
So is that show going on again anytime, or are you working on a new show?
JCS. Well, Hookers Do It Standing Up. I'm hoping to do early March in Cork.
Oh, yay.
So you might call some of your buddies.
Yeah, please, Cork people, go see it. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. And also the anecdotes about sex work, about all the other aspects of your life. They're so funny. You're a great stand-up as well as everything else. And then there are these incredible songs too. Mm-hmm. It's and an all-round evening.
Oh, thank you. And there will be more tunes in it too. Like Hookers Do It Standing Up. I mean, that show, it could be a framework for a lot of... I mean, there's a wealth of material in there. So, and I'm continuing to write tunes
And so that's the show that's on the boil at the moment. But what's next for you in performance terms?
Well, so again, that in March, early March, hopefully we'll be doing that in Cork. And then the next thing to come out is going to be a wee music video for a tune called Unsolicited Dick Pic.
Oh, those feckers. The dark voters on Facebook. Hey.
Yes.
I actually spoke about this. I don't know what podcast it was on. I don't know which number, but that it is. When it's not connected to a person, it's just... It's a little mushroom. Like, you don't...
Oh,
it's the person. The person's important.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, we love a good dick. And isn't
we
it amazing?
We love a good dick.
Isn't it amazing that like a solicited dick pic, entirely different
entirely
than unsolicited.
Entirely different. Or connected to more of the person. Mm. Entirely different. Now, I'm not saying unsolicited, even if it's full body shot. But that's great. Oh, I can't wait. Mm. I can't wait.
Yeah, and you'll be glad to hear that it's a little bit interactive. And that's all I'll say.
Hmm. Oh, so speaking of interactive, we're going to play out, of course, with the trick you played on me. But thank you for it. It was a challenge I needed, and it rattled me up, shook me up, and got me going. And thank you for that. That's what you do so well for people. You are fearless. You are shameless, Kate McGrew. But what makes you paranoid?
Oh my gosh, I mean. The real tarannoying thoughts, you know, we don't go there, do we? You know,
oh, good woman, that's a revelation for me.
Yeah, I think I just and there's nothing, you know, necessarily powerful about it. It's just distraction.com. You know, it's just that's not to say that things don't gnaw and erode at your you know, your spirit like they do, don't things, you know. Everybody's struggling in this modern world. But
it's very deep, it's lovely.
Yeah, but I think you know, the only thing that I can legitimately say that is that yeah, you do go, oh my gosh, this precious life, am I going to have time to explore all of the creative potential, you know, within. I mean, that's the thing. Like, art to me is just what it's about. It's just really what it's about. Like, we live on this. I mean, real talk, we live on this paradise of a motherfucking planet. Like, food grows in the ground. Water is around us and falls from the sky. And then look what we done with it, you know. So it's like, are we not supposed to sing and dance and eat and fuck?
Whoa, sing and dance and eat and fuck.
Sing and dance and eat and fuck.
And
sing
with that,
and dance and eat and fuck.
Just before we segue into the final challenge that you set for me, Kate McGrew, where can people find you?
www.ladygrew.com. That's LadyGrew. Songs, videos, connections.
We're going to lead you into the fabulous playout that Kate made me do.
Cool. So I thought we'd try something because, you know, it's just New Year's.
Yes.
And I don't tell people my New Year's resolutions because, first of all, nobody wants to hear that inspiring crap.
Wait, I do. You inspire me. But anyway, it's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about my needs.
Your inspiration at the end of every podcast is all this world needs.
Thank you so much. I'm humbled.
The rest of it is Rolf. But and that's so that's sort of a protective measure, though, so that if you don't really manifest them in this particular year, people aren't let down.
Just a loser, yeah.
Mm. But the one I do have is that, you know, because I MC, I sing and I MC, but I'm really like, oh, I'm not really a rapper. It's just I have so much to say. But, so I got to fit it in a lot. But the real deal is that hip hop is a culture and I have to respect that. And if my music is going to be derivative of something and even appropriating something, I really have to appreciate that, you know, and appreciate the culture. So part of that culture
What's happening?
Part of that culture is freestyling. So we're about to do something terrifying. And I've told myself, I'm like, I'm going to practice this freestyling shit. I need to be able to, when people are like, give us a freestyle, I need to be able to do that. So I thought me and you, Tara, could do a little freestyle.
Oh no, I'm terrible at this.
And so am I.
Okay.
And so we're going to get better.
Okay. Okay.
So we go for
it. Let's do this. All right.
Okay. So the song is called Next Level. We're taking it to the next level.
Okay.
All right. By Serious Beats. That's how you know it's serious because it has a Z on it.
Beats.
So, can I turn this up? Brian, back there on the ones and twos. That's the little thing so you can't rip it. So we'll let the intro go. Nice and soft. We'll take it slow.
I'm in your hands.
Yes, girl.
You know.
Yes, girl. It's going to be great. So what I like to do It start by rhyming. What's in the room? I look around. It's just me and you, except for drop Ryan on the decks, ones and twos. But what's in here just also smells like lemongrass. Oh my God, the seat is cushy on my ass. What's on the wall? Spongy stuff. And enough posters of what comes before us.
Impressive.
This podcast is gonna be tough. Taranoia and Lady Gru on the mic, yo. I got my inhaler on the table. I'm not gonna be scared of nothing. I'm just gonna rhyme what's around me. Out of my head comes something. Lots of love in my heart. Yo, do I have any wisdom to impart on you? I'm gonna tell you what's in my mind and my head. Every morning I can hardly get out of bed. Happy New Year, Dublin, rapper Southern Ohio, coming up with something. All right, Tara, it's your turn. Not a bother. Just take it nice and slow.
Now it there's sounds no like other way that's gonna right. be possible for me to do it.
And they give you a little bit more of an intro just to let your nerves really wind up here.
Oh, great. This is amazing. Mine will be quite short, I have a feeling, like myself.
Beat's about to drop. Go on, girl.
That the beat dropping, I'll soon be stopping because I'm not even going to start. I'm off the charts with the fear and the nerves. I'm sitting over here. I've got the kind of verve going on in my chair, which is squeaky. Just like my knees, squeaky.
Woo.
Come on, let's unfreeze. Let's go round and round and round in squeaky chairs. I got lots of matted little bits in my hair. I hear it's lemongrass. That's the thing that you are smelling. I've got to stop rhyming soon. I'd rather be spelling because that's all I got. That's all I've got for you. I'm gonna kill you, Lady Gru.
Perfect.
Happy 2019, everybody.
Happy 2019. Yo, but then we need a hook. We need to be like, Taranoia and Lady Gru, 2019 for you. Taranoia and Lady Gru.
I'm here against my will, but I'm loving it. Lady Gru, everybody, Lady Gru. Thank you for being on Taranoia, Lady Gru.
I love you, Tara. Anytime,
you.
Girl.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.